Your business, your life. ESPN 1700.
This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Coming to the bat for the answers here.
The one show that helps you make better money moves. The program all about your money, your business, and your life.
You guys talk about a lot of really good information that even I can understand.
Call Ray now at 844-RAY-SHOW. 844-RAY-SHOW. This is the Ray Lucia Show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. No. You don't have to applaud. No, not right now. Maybe at the end of the show, all right? At the end of the program, if it's been a good one, then I give you full permission. Thank you for tuning in to the Ray Lucia Show. Glad to have you on board. Big show planned for you today. In fact, we have a business spotlight coming up in a little bit. I think this is the Dress for Success one. Is it not? Yeah. So I used to hold classes on this years ago. It's why I have this pocket square now. Because somebody told me that if you use a pocket square, people think you're smarter, better looking, and whatever. I made that up. But I'm very, very interested to talk with a fellow by the name of Christian Torres Luna about dressing for success for the big and tall. I qualify for at least one of those, maybe. Not both, for sure. Also in the news, healthcare costs could eat up your retirement funds. Ugh. Fidelity just said the retirees will need 6% more than they said last year. $275,000. What does that tell you? It tells you that healthcare costs post-retirement are going up at three times the rate of inflation. That's frightening. I hope you tuned into our show where we talked about healthcare the other day, because some of these healthcare, that's really not a plan, memberships are very, very interesting. Do your due diligence, but you might be able to save $500, $800 a month. But do your due diligence. Good news and bad news. The good news is you might live to be age 100. The bad news, you might also live to age 100. You got to pay for it. So the World Economic Forum recently did a white paper. We'll live to 100. How can we afford it? We might get a chance to talk a little bit about that. Misleading ads about annuities. We've discussed that. While annuities can be critical for lifetime planning, a fellow by the name of Greg Cicotti, my peeps, I think, wrote about that, and very cogently, by the way, and also all true, by the way. So sometimes when you see these ads on television, you hear them on the radio, it may be because the other person on the other side wants to charge you 1% or 2% for every asset you have in your portfolio, even if it's a freaking bond. So we may get a chance to talk about that, but I got to start with this. So many people seem to be contacting me, especially lately. North Korea's in the news. Donald Trump, he can't get anything done. Hurricane Harvey, it's going to cause this catastrophe. And maybe all that's true. I don't know. I don't know. North Korea, everything's on the table, according to the Donald. And, yeah, that's a frightening geopolitical event that is, you know, pretty much coming to us on a daily basis. And when you have a country run by a serious whack job, it's even more frightening. They don't have, you know, it's like in Iran. A lot of the leaders there, a lot of the people are fine. But a lot of the leaders there are totally whacked out, man. So, yeah, the geopolitical events can cause you to want to clam up, sell, go to cash, and hide. But is that the right thing to do? Rob Clairfield talked about this in a recent article that I have to share with you because it's very compelling stuff. Sit back, folks. Relax. It is the Ray Program. Here's what he had to say. North Korea, Afghanistan, domestic and international terrorism. We can now add Hurricane Harvey's economic impact to our list. Yeah, we're losing 1 million barrels a day of oil. So there could be our oil glut just got solved. And that could cause a big spike in prices at the pump, which is not good. Not good from an economic perspective. So all of this stuff are great reasons to get the heck out of the market. But don't. Don't. Because most all of this is short-lived, as I will prove. He goes on, there's no denying that geopolitical events such as a disruption in the supply of oil or an unanticipated regime change can have an immediate impact on how the markets behave. However, the historical record shows that whatever effect geopolitics or geopolitical events have on the investing landscape, it tends to be relatively short-lived. The only certainty is that portfolios will continue to fluctuate with headlines and that there's no proven alternative to remaining committed to your long-term investment plan. Yep, I know it's boring. Buy and hold is boring. You hear buy and hope is stupid. I say the latter is way more stupid. And the data, you know me, I'm a data guy, supports it. The data supports it. Here's proof. The Lehman Brothers bankruptcy, September 2008, which set off the worldwide financial crisis, disrupted the market for a relatively long duration. It took the S&P 500 17 weeks to bottom out at 46% lower and another 41 weeks to climb back to its pre-bankruptcy level. With reflection, the Great Recession, the worst market crash since 1929, required 14 months to recover. This was certainly an extremely difficult period for investors, but still a relatively modest setback on most investors' time horizon. I went back and looked at some of these events that caused crashes or panics in the market. Here are some of them. Remember the taper tantrum? That was back in May of 2013 when we first heard about the Federal Reserve gonna start raising interest rates soon, which they didn't do until December of 2015. But everybody freaked out. The market lost like 1% that day. It took 17 days to recover. That's all. The next one, the U.S. debt downgrade, was more serious. That was in August of 2011. That was a 7% drop, I believe, the first day. And it took 144 days to recover. I mean, 144 days, come on, man. That's not that long. You can't keep your powder dry for 144 days or even 14 months for crying out loud. Japanese tsunami, 6 days to recover. The flash crash, big deal. We all made about it in the news. 4 days to recover. The Lehman bankruptcy, we just talked about that, 285 days to recover. The Madrid bombing, 18 days. U.S. terrorist attack on 9/11, 20 days. The collapse of long-term capital management, 9 days. Iraq evasion of... Now, some of these happen sequentially, so you'd have days on top of days. But I think you get the point. The point is, let's just pretend it's 5 to 7 years for just a minute. We've discussed this a gajillion times. If you can keep your powder dry long enough to last you 5 to 7 years, then you will make money in the market almost 100% of the time. I say almost because there's probably been one time or two times in history where it's not happened. But that's talking about just the stock market. What if you have a balanced portfolio that includes stocks and bonds, dare I say, fixed annuity contracts or structured notes that have downside risk protection or CDs or real estate, cash flowing real estate? 5 years is probably ample time. Stick around. I've got more on this subject coming up after the break. The media has gone crazy over the geopolitical risks of the stock market. Stick around. This is the one talk show you must tune into every day. It's the Ray Lucia Show, where we help you make better money moves.
Listen anywhere, anytime to San Diego's ESPN 1700. We are streaming live at ESPN1700.com.
Or download the free ESPN 1700 app from Google Play or iTunes.
Yeah, market warnings lose impact. Stocks could run. I totally agree with that. I mean, CNBC the other day, or maybe it was Market Watch, comes out with this headline: 2/3 of U.S. investors think stocks are overvalued, which means 1/3 think they're undervalued, I guess. CNBC: investors pull billions from U.S. stocks in longest outflow streak since 2004. Merrill Lynch Bank of America says investors have pulled $30 billion from U.S. stock funds over the last 10 weeks. The latest week of outflows marks the 10th straight week of withdrawals, the longest in more than a decade, and internal positioning changes also indicate investors are becoming more defensive, the report says. Okay, so then why did the S&P during this time period actually rise like 1% during the quarter? And reached a record high, I think it was August 8th, right? I mean, when you read these headlines and you say to yourself, I don't want to be an investor. But I just got through going through this whole scenario of how long you might have to wait to recover. And it's just ludicrous for people to be short-term thinkers. We have discussed this with the Dalbar study, just about every study that's ever been done. Says a couple of things. Of course, diversify. That's large cap, small cap, domestic, international. Oh, but it hasn't worked, Ray, lately. Well, that's true. I mean, if you just bought U.S. the last 5, 6, 7 years, you've done very, very well. The international markets have dragged down your returns, but I can make a pretty strong case right now, today, for investing in the international markets. I've been making that case for the past several years, and have I been wrong from a pure return standpoint? Sure. Sure, but that's not the game we're trying to play. We're not trying to pick which is going to be the best return. We want to have assets that have non-correlating characteristics, so that one is zigging, the other is zagging, so that they all don't zag at the same time. It just so happens that the international markets have been in the tank the last few years until this year. Now they're doing well. In either event, they're making a big deal about how this market resembles 1987. Still the largest percentage one-day decline in history, minus 20%. And I'm reading some of the headlines, and it's silly. It's just silly. Here's Bloomberg. The market is behaving much like it did in the past, referring to 1987. Street.com. Stock market may be poised for a replay of the 87 crash. Fortune: top economists get ready for a stock market drop. Market Insider: Wall Street is sending huge warning signs for stocks. How can people be investors if they're watching and reading this stuff every single day. It's why I have said for years, don't listen to the noise, don't pay attention to the noise, don't read the articles, don't look at CAPE ratios or any of that stuff. Just do what we've said over time. Diversify your holdings, have enough money in a bucket that's safe so that if and when you need to drain your portfolio for income, you can leave the risky stuff alone. Spread your risk amongst various non-correlating assets, namely real estate, not just stocks, not just small and large and domestic and international, etc., but add a real estate component. Not everybody can do that. Not everybody should do that. But should you have that conversation with your advisor? You bet. Have annuities, fixed annuities in the mix. I talked about this. Was it this hour or last? I can't remember now. But I think it was last hour where I looked at the 10-year treasury, the yield on a 10-year treasury, the yield on a 10-year CD, and the yield on a 10-year MIGA, multi-year guaranteed annuity contract. The treasury is about 2%. So you give the government, make a loan to the government for 10 years, they give you 2% and change back. And some market volatility if you have to sell out early. The CD, well, they'll give you about 2.5% and a substantial penalty for early withdrawal if you bail out early. And the MIGA will give you 3.4% if my memory serves me. I mean, literally 30 to 40% more rate of return than a CD and 50%, 60% more than, say, a treasury. Yet they're one of the most misunderstood investments out there. In fact, some people say they're bad, they're expensive. I'll talk about that in a few minutes if I have a chance. Do you see how crazy this is? So you read the headlines. Money Magazine. Stocks just entered a historically scary period. Here's why. Scary for how long? It's like going to a scary movie and you're scared while you're there. You come home, everything's fine. Okay, maybe it's a little bit longer than that. But for the most part, these things tend to correct themselves. You also have to look at the fact that the market today doesn't look anything like the market looked like in 1987. I have no idea what they're talking about. The mere fact that we have all of these articles that are coming out telling us that we should be bailing out of the market, we didn't see that in 87. I mean, you use all this stuff as a contrarian indicator. Business Insider, Wall Street is at war with itself over future stocks. Financial Times, the next crash risk is hiding in plain sight. U.S. News and World Report, 7 ways to profit from a market collapse. You didn't see any of that stuff. In times like this, emotions become pretty widespread and coalesce around a particular view. The particular view today is the market's going to crash. And that is the exact contrarian move that I'm looking for. Now, as a buy and holder, it just tells me I can still buy. But as a buy and holder, I don't sell. I rebalance from time to time. I make sure I have adequate cash and cash flow. I'll do that calculation for you when we come back from the break and cover some of these other important issues that you need to know about before you push L panic button, because that's what all of these articles are alluding to. Like, you should get the heck out of Dodge. I say strap on, ride right into Dodge, keep the cowboy hat guns a-blazing. Take a quick break, come back with more of the Ray Lucia program. Stick around. Oh, my head. Lord.
It's the Dave Ramsey Show.
This is a show for people like me.
I've got a PhD in DUMB.
And if you have made mistakes, I'll help you out.
The Dave Ramsey Show. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on ESPN 1700.
Hey, welcome back, folks, to the Ray Lucia Program, helping you to make better money moves. Glad to have you on board. I'm going to move on to some other stuff here, but I just want to finish my thoughts on this, what we're seeing in the news and the misinformation that exists in the financial community. This one, the latest, traders ditch risk as Dalio to Gundlach warn on emerging markets. Now, Ray Dalio and Jeffrey Gundlach, these are like billionaires, right? But I want to read something because it's so important. And this is why you need to not read this stuff or read it for enjoyment, for pleasure, but not because it's going to help you make smart money moves. Here's what they say. Geopolitical risk remains high, particularly in the U.S. So says Chris Diaz, who oversees $2 billion at Janus. Valuations in all risk markets, including emerging markets, are fairly full in our view, and this would be a reasonable time to reduce risk. Well, it's always a reasonable time to have your risks managed, because if your risk is managed, then you don't need to reduce your risk, because it's already managed, because nobody knows when the next Hurricane Harvey comes. Nobody knows when the next terrorist attack like 9/11 comes. So wouldn't it stand to reason that you would have that risk already pre-managed in your portfolio instead of being fully invested and then reduce your risk because of fear? Gundlach, the co-founder of Double Line Capital, another, I believe he's a billionaire too, earlier this month said, quote, traders should be gradually moving toward the exits on riskier assets. Operative word there, trader. We are not traders. That is not our profession. Traders get paid to trade. They work on minuscule percentage points and slight advantages. And in light of that, still about 80% of them don't beat their benchmarks. So you need to get the trader mentality out of your brain. Stop listening to traders. Dalio, a billionaire, Bridgewater Associates, is tactically reducing risk as a surge in populism around the world has helped intensify existing conflicts to the point that fighting to the death is probably more likely than reconciliation. Well, you know what? If you actually believe that, you wouldn't be tactically reducing. You would be reducing, period. I mean, are you saying that we're going to enter into world war here and it's never going to end? You see, I don't buy any of this stuff. I buy strategy. I'll help you, as I've done so many times before. You've got to answer the question, are you conservative? Are you moderate? Are you aggressive? Or are you super faint-hearted? Super faint-hearted. And then just look at what the stock market has done historically over time. Forget real estate, which you should have. Forget annuities, which you should have. All of that is important. Forget bonds, which you should have. If we're talking about stocks, then if you are faint-hearted, you better have 20 to 25 years of safe money stashed away somewhere. So you've amassed $1 million. You want $40,000 out of that $1 million for the next 20 years. Say you can earn 3% on it. You take $600,000 and park it in a safe place. That way, you can take the other $400,000 and hopefully get I don't know, eight and a half. I don't know what the average has been over 20 years. But if you got 8.5% on it, you'll have $2 million 20 years from now. Okay, you started with a million. You had your $40,000 of income. You have $2 million to show for it. It's better than buying a tax-free municipal bond that paid 4%, isn't it? Because you'd only have $1 million stashed away then, right? If you're fairly conservative and you want 10 years, say, of safe money, $40,000 a year, call it 2% for 10 years, you would take $370,000 and put it in a safe place. And that'll last you 10 years. And if the market does, you know, 7-8%, you'll have a double, you know, have $1.2 million, $1.3 million left over, $1.4 million, somewhere in that ballpark. If you're conservative, if you're aggressive, then do 5 years. 5 years is a couple hundred thousand dollars. You still have $800,000 to invest. Invest that money in real estate. Invest some of that money in annuities so that you have your full expenses covered. All right, on that subject, misleading ads, annuities, despite, he says, misleading ads, annuities can be critical for lifetime income planning. All right, now I've talked enough about these. I don't want to go into great detail, except that here is what the critics say, all right, and the core truths about annuities. You see, we always have to get to the truth and take this hyperbole and put it in perspective. Critics say annuity contracts are obtuse and confusing, misleading buyers. Well, I don't know that they're misleading buyers. I don't know that they're that obtuse, but that's me. Could they do a better job eliminating some of the jargon? Yeah, but the regulators make them do that. It's not like they are trying to, you know, put together these big prospectuses and stuff like that. And remember, fixed annuities don't have risk. But here's the fact. And this is where the proof is in the pudding. A LIMRA consumer investment study found that 75% of, get this, variable annuity buyers, 83% of indexed annuity buyers, and 86% of traditional fixed annuity buyers are satisfied with their deferred annuity purchase. Ignorant and wouldn't know the difference. But we're talking about 3/4 to almost 9/10 of the people are satisfied, which means they're not going to make rash changes if they're satisfied. And what's the one thing that kills you when you invest in stocks? Rash changes, not buying and holding. And could it be that the penalty for early withdrawal from an annuity is exactly what keeps their powder dry? Have you ever thought about that's actually a benefit so that they're not incentivized to liquidate like you would be in a treasury or a bond fund? Another common annuity misnomer is that sales reps lie and peddle commissions. Okay, I do know that some sales reps do lie, and some are totally commission-oriented. But the vast majority of them, and I've trained literally hundreds, if not thousands, of financial planners and brokers around the country, and I've met them, and by and large, they go to class, they educate themselves, and they want to do what's best for the client, because I got news for you. It's far better for them to charge 1% per year for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years and keep you as a client, and that 1% is on a growing asset base, far better than getting a 3, 4, 5, 6, or even 7% commission up front. By the way, you can get fee-only annuities too. Next, interestingly, some critics say annuities have high fees, but in the same breath, they're saying they're too good to be true. Well, they do appear too good to be true, but you pay for that too goodness. You are paying a fee for some of the underlying guarantees. And keep in mind, you must make a distinction between the variable annuities, which do have high fees, and all kinds of benefits that may or may not be worth the actual cost. You've got to be the judge of that. Then you have indexed annuities, which have virtually no fees, but your returns are capped out, but you have no risk on the downside. You'd have to be the judge on whether that makes sense. And then you have fixed and life annuities where there's virtually no fees and you get an income that's guaranteed for a certain period, could be life, and you'll have to be the judge of that. And a good advisor can give you the data.
Your business, your life, ESPN 1700. Every girl crazy about it,
drives me. And welcome back to the Ray Lucia Show. You know, I've made no bones about it. I'm very proud of my Italian Sicilian heritage. It's got its advantages and disadvantages. One of the advantages, if you've ever been to Italy, the food, spectacular. Sunday dinners at my mom and dad's, disadvantages, let's see. My father was overweight, my mother was overweight, my grandparents are overweight, everybody in the family was overweight. In fact, I got so big that about 12 years ago, I actually went in for gastric bypass surgery and lost 100 pounds, of which I've gained 25 back, and I'm trying like crazy to lose it. Now, what's the point? The point is, being overweight and trying to run a successful company and being successful in business is very, very difficult. There's a lot of stigma attached to those that are overweight. I know that personally. And so I read a book years ago by a fellow by the name of John Molloy, if I can remember correctly, Dress for Success. And I'm excited to bring on Christian Torres Luna from the WinstonBox.com. And you guys, Christian, actually help big and tall, and in my case, it was short and fat people, dress for success. How am I doing so far today?
Absolutely correct. In fact, at 5'9", 226 pounds, I'm in that short and stocky classification as well. Slightly fluffy, as some others might
put it. Well, you look good to me. Okay, so let's talk about this for just a second. What are individuals to do?
Well, our company was founded on the premise that just because you're a big guy doesn't mean you have to look sloppy, doesn't mean that you have to abide by these clothing rules that other people have set before you, and that you can only wear vertical stripes and dark colors and try to hide your body. You are who you are. So why not dress in the clothing that you see on the covers of magazine? Why not be fashionable? Why does fashion and fit have to be mutually exclusive? Why not combine the two and provide you with our customers with clothing that looks good? And we have had tremendous reception in the community of big and tall men to what we're providing. You know, for some guys, you know, for some guys like me that do work in business and have worked in finance before, it's easy to custom tailor shirts and suits. But what about the casual stuff? What do you wear outside of the boardroom? What do you wear in the office on a day-to-day basis? What kind of clothing is available to you? It's very limited.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And I, as I said, I have personal experience with this. I can buy suits off the rack now, but there was a time where I had to spend a lot of money to get custom tailored suits that looked good. And then you buy the expensive ties. And of course, I read a lot of the stuff at IBM when they first came out with the white shirt thing and all that stuff. And it tended to work in business, but casually, even going to church on Sundays, it was pretty hard. You know, a Tommy Bahama shirt, maybe.
Yeah, and that's the thing is we've been told as big guys that we wear big untucked shirts that are square and try to hide all those rolls, and we all end up looking like, you know, grandpa going to the golf course. And there's got to be a way to look more fashionable, more trendy, and there is nothing out there. And so out of frustration, my business partners and I decided to make something, a company that would do it. And we manufacture our own clothing because there is nothing out there for us to source from. What there is super expensive. You can get a shirt for $255 off some websites for big and tall men. That's ridiculous. For $75 a month, we send a box of clothing to our customers every month. And we help them build a wardrobe that they could wear throughout the year. It's seasonally appropriate. I'm wearing one of our most recent shirts. It's a polo shirt with a custom print collar. You know, very trendy look, very fashion forward look, but certainly not something that, you know, that you would find on a Walmart shelf or a Burlington Coat Factory shelf. This is clothing that we manufacture and design ourselves using the finest available materials from Peru.
That is incredible. So $75 a month, and you're going to send me clothes every month? Do I send them back if I don't like them?
Well, we have an exchange policy if it's something doesn't fit, but we will have stylists that work with you to help you determine what your style should look like. And, you know, we're certainly custom friendly. So we want to the whole thing is this. We want our customers to feel appreciated and to feel cared for, which is something that is big and tall men we haven't typically gotten. So your customer experience is first and foremost to us. So, yeah, we will work with you on making sure you get the right look on your body so that you look good. Because, you know, if you look good, you're going to feel good. And if you feel good, that carries itself into the office, into the boardroom, and success is bound to happen.
The website, thewinstonbox.com, Dress for Success, Christian Torres Luna. Thank you so much, Christian. I'm really excited about this. I think that this is something that's going to go, and I wish you and your company success.
Thank you very much.
All right,
have a great day.
You too.
Take care.
Fascinating. I remember when I read that book, John Malloy's book, Dress for Success, and it literally changed my life, the way I felt about myself. I went out and bought a bunch of suits, and I got the right ties. And sometime later on, I started wearing the pocket square. And I can't tell you how many individuals have said, boy, that's a really sharp outfit. And it's the same outfit I wore 2 weeks ago without the pocket square. Nobody cared. Anyway, just food. I was talking about food, wasn't I? I guess I'm pretty hungry.
Forget about it.
Food for thought. Hit it, fellas. We got some emails here. All right. Floyd is an interesting email. I want to give my house to my kids now. Should I use a qualified personal residence trust? No. A Cupert? That makes no sense. You give the kids the house and then they relinquish ownership back to you at some point. Listen, that's an estate planning tactic. Last time I checked, if we have estate taxes at all, it's only on assets for married couples over about $12 million, $11 million and change. So unless you're super rich, you don't even want to think about Cuperts. By the way, if you want to give the kids the house, give them the house. Why do you want to have a string attached to it? So I would say no. Susie, I'm getting married, and he has a large income. Will this knock me out of an HSA? No, it doesn't knock you out of an HSA. It might knock you out of a Roth IRA. But you can, as long as you're under the age of 65, buy a high deductible plan, you can have a health savings account. And I highly, highly recommend you do that. Thank you for the emails. If you'd like to email me, go to raylucia.com. Click on the Ask Ray button. That's RAYLUCIA.com. Just simply click on the Ask Ray button. Out of time. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please tell your friends and everybody that you know, dogs, cats, everyone, to tune in to the Ray Lucia Show. Now go out and make it a fabulous day. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Ray Lucia Show, bringing you the best in money information, answering questions about your biggest financial challenges, talking about your money, your business, and your life. Ray Lucia is not a registered representative of or affiliated with any securities brokerage or investment advisory firm. The views and opinions expressed by Ray and his guests are not necessarily those of this station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult with the appropriate advisors before making any financial decisions. Ray is available to take your questions online at raylucia.com.